Good morning, everyone. Winter's back again, it would appear, but we'll smile anyway. Exodus, the chapter 16. We're coming very near the end of our study in the life of Moses, our uncovering the wonderful likenesses in his life and his character to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can pay Moses no greater compliment than when we do say that he is like the Lord Jesus. That is what we should all aim to emulate, to copy. We should seek to be like the Savior in everything we say and do. Well, here in Exodus, the chapter 16, we're reading two verses. First one is verse 4. You got it? Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Then further down the chapter in verse 15, And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not or knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Another likeness that I want to draw your attention to today, between Moses and the Lord, is how he, under God, provided for the people both bread and water. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. When Moses provided that bread, and again we'll notice a verse or two, when he provided the water, he was setting forth the gospel in a wonderful way. He was preaching Christ in a wonderful way. And I want us just to notice that today. Now, I mentioned that he also provided water. And yes, we want to look at that, turning over to Numbers, and it's the chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 and the verse 11. Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Bread and water, of course, was very, very necessary for the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. It wasn't a place that readily could be harvested and food gathered from it. They had to be miraculously fed by God. And that he did by providing them with manna and by providing them with bread. The manna was a wonderful bread. When we think of bread, we think of that white loaf. You probably took a piece of it already today. But manna wasn't just quite like that bread. Manna had a sweetness about it. It's described as being like wafers and honey. So there was a taste from manna like no other food. That's good for us to remember. Because the Lord Jesus said of himself, I am the bread of life. In fact, he said, I am the manna which has been sent down from heaven by the Father unto you. Turn to John chapter 6. I'd like you to see these things just for yourselves. That which you hear, but also see, you're inclined to be able to remember an awful lot more clearly. So we're looking at chapter 6 of John's Gospel, a Gospel in which the wonderful person of the Lord is so often set forth, and that most vividly. Chapter 6, the verse 48, one of the little short verses in John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So the Savior is saying, yes, I'm the bread of life, I'm the manna from heaven, but the difference between the manna that Moses provided and myself, the bread of life, is that if you eat of me, you will never die. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. But I provide everlasting life. Everlasting life. And here in the life of Moses, you see, you had a setting forth of the person of Christ, of the work of Christ, of what it is that Christ would provide. The very vitals of living. Water, bread, without which the Israelites could not have existed, and without which you cannot live. Oh, not the water that Moses supplied, or the bread that Moses supplied. Wonderful, and all as those miraculous provisions were. No, it's what they symbolize you need. You need the water of life. You need the bread of life. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You must feed on him every day. When we partake of Christ by faith, embrace him by faith into our hearts, into our lives, we receive everlasting life. We become new persons. We're born again. And then every day we sustain that new life by partaking of bread, the bread of life, by drinking of the water. It's important for us to remember that. You need the bread and you need the water in order to have life. And then you must continue to feast upon the bread and the water in order to sustain you on the pilgrimage to heaven. The manna was gathered every morning, and that's a good pattern for us to observe. Morning time's the best time to feed upon the Word of God. Morning time's the best time to bow in prayer before the Lord. It's most appropriate. It's most proper. All of us have breakfast. A lot of people in this modern society seem to think it's all right to avoid breakfast. I don't think that doctors would approve of you put a stress on your body when you launch out into the day without giving your body any nourishment. You put a stress on your body. You need to refresh your body and give it food that it will wonderfully turn into energy. And thus you fuel yourself for the day. And in like fashion, at the beginning of the day, we should spiritually feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should bow before him and in prayer partake of him. Ask him for his blessing and ask him for his touch upon our souls that we might be revived, refreshed and strengthened. It's also most appropriate and most proper that we greet the Lord in the morning. As we start another day, we do so only by his mercy. He has kept us during the night when you were fast asleep and didn't know what was happening all around you. The eye of God was upon you. And so it's appropriate as we start the day to bow before him and thank him for his mercy during the night and pray for his blessing upon us as we begin another day. Did you do that this morning? Did you do that? I'm sure when you got up and got dressed and came down to the kitchen, and if your mother was there, you said, "Good morning." Or hello, if your dad was there, you would have done the same to him. And if he didn't, shame on you. You didn't greet your mother and father. Proper that you, because likely mother was there providing your breakfast, working at getting you food. Therefore, it's proper to speak in that fashion. Acknowledge their kindness. How much more so it is for us, therefore, to greet the Lord. We begin another day, knowing that he has cared for us and looked after us throughout the night. So Moses, in providing, being the instrument by which God provided the food and also the water for the children of Israel as they progressed through the wilderness, a weary, weary wilderness. So he pictured for us the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you might understand this today, boys and girls, that you might realize and recognize that you need to eat the bread of life, you need to drink the water of life that is to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus. If you are to live, you'll never get to heaven if you haven't partaken of this bread and this water. Now, there's one more item, and this will bring our study of Moses to a close. One more item that I want us to look at. Look at chapter 34 of Exodus. Turn over to chapter 34. The verse 29. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony, two tables of the law, in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, knew not, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Moses came down from the mountain, it's hard for us to imagine just exactly what he looked like, but his face was shining. His face, how will I put it, was lit up by an inner light. There was a glory resting upon the countenance of Moses. You see, he had been in God's presence. He had been very close to God. more close to God than any earthly being had been before. And as a result of being in God's presence, he took on something of the glory of God. I think, you know, boys and girls, we have an illustration of this from the summertime. The sun is shining, bright and strong, and we expose ourselves to that. The sun will have an impact upon you. It will brown your skin. It will tan your skin. And you can easily tell when someone has been in the sunshine. Skin is marked by the sun. Well, I think that there is there that which will help us to understand what took place when Moses stood in the presence of God and the glory of God shone upon him. When he went away, the glory left its mark upon him. His face shone for a time. Now, the last appearance of Moses upon the earth that is recorded in the scripture is found, and I want you to look at this, it's found over in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and there we read of a wonderful incident. We'll read from verse 1 of Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Why didn't he take all of the disciples? Why just Peter, James, and John? Why? Why not Peter's brother, Andrew? The reason? I don't know. Here we have the sovereignty of God at work. God does things because he wisely decides to do those things. We don't understand always why it is he does them, but he does them. And there is a difference among God's people. You will learn this. Some of God's people have experiences of God's mercy and grace and power that others don't. Doesn't mean we should be jealous of them, because what they have been granted has been done at the will of God. At the will of God, they have been favored uniquely, and we should be glad for them and rejoice with them. And I hope amongst all the other apostles, when they heard of what happened to Peter, James, and John, they were happy for them, for they had this wonderful experience. That's how it should be. Well, these three are taken up into a mountain, and we read that the Lord Jesus, verse 2, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Here's Moses. You know, we read at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses being buried on Mount Nebo. The Lord buried him. Nobody else was there. That was a very quiet funeral service. Nobody else was there. Nobody knew where he was buried. But that wasn't the end of Moses. Death is not the end of it. Here he is. Here he is. A long, long time later. And he's standing with the Lord in company with Elijah. And what is interesting is, verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. Now, what I always find interesting when I read this passage of God's precious word is that I don't read of Peter being introduced to Moses and Elijah. How did Peter know it was Moses and it was Elijah? Now, don't you say, oh, he had a picture in his picture book of Moses. Now, you might have a picture book in which there is an illustration of Moses. But, of course, that illustration is only imaginary. Nobody knows what Moses looked like. And Peter didn't know what Moses looked like. But somehow or other he knew this is Moses and this is Elijah. And I think, when I read that, that here we have a little foretaste of what heaven will be like. Now, in heaven, there will be millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians. So when we get there, it will not be a case of us all wearing labels saying who we are. And it will not be a case of you trying, oh, what do they call that man? What was his name? I saw him not so long ago, and here he is again, and I can't remember. No, it'll not be like that. In 1 Corinthians, the chapter 13, Paul tells us something about the knowledge that will be ours in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and the verse 12, Paul says, for now we see through a glass darkly. Look out through the glass on the window to your right. You can only see darkly. If a car went up the road, you would see the image of the car. You'd see the colour of it. You probably couldn't tell the make, though the boys probably know the make of every car there ever was. You couldn't tell who was driving it because of the nature of that glass. It's there to stop a clear image passing through it, both from the outside in and from the inside out. That's the sort of thing that Paul is here saying. For now we see through a glass darkly, not very clear, something of a mystery. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know. How will you know? To what degree will you know, Paul? Why, I will know even as also I am known. How well does God know you? He knows everything about you. Well, Paul says that's the sort of knowledge we will have in eternity. Then will I know, even as now I am known. And you can see something of that knowledge being given to Peter and the other apostles on the mountain. They knew it was Moses. The knowledge that we'll all have in heaven to a full extent was experienced to some degree by Peter on the mountain. He didn't need to be told this is Moses. He knew it was Moses and it was Elijah. Boys and girls, let me tell you that there is an experience awaiting the people of God in glory, a fullness of joy and peace, of everything that is precious and pleasant that we can really not grasp or understand. Moses pictured Christ. Right to the very end of his life, he pictured Christ. And I trust that in our study of this wonderful man, we will have learned something of the Lord Jesus. Now next week we'll move on a little in our studies, and I trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless us as we do so. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we do ask Thee to bless us today. Bless Your Word. Grant grace and help, Lord, to us, and help us to take in what Thy Word sets forth so plainly. Oh, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus, the bread of life, the water of life. That sweet, pleasant bread that none other is like, and which came down from heaven, and which alone can give us everlasting life. May each child here be anxious that they feast upon that bread, and that daily they feast upon that bread. Bless us, each one then. You know the needs. Answer our prayers. And for all of the school and all of its requirements, God, answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.